Okay, so in the beginning with Genesis and everything, and the first promise of a Savior, then God eventually sees that mankind is getting so bad as things spread out that he's got to do what?
Destroy the earth,
right? He's going to use the flood. Why?
Save Noah.
To save Noah and his family, the only bearers of that promise left, right? So he's saving that promise. After the flood, Noah and his family spread out, and Noah's three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, are now populating the world in different places. But they all come together and they think, hey, we're so awesome.
Tower of Babel,
right? Hey, we're so awesome, we're going to build this tower. What does God say? Well, they're so great. That's when God gives them languages and everybody spreads up. And that's when everybody spreads up. Now, in all these nations that were created, God chooses one man then and says that promised Savior is going to come through you.
Abraham.
That's right. Gave Abraham three promises. Says, I'm going to give you a land. I'm going to give you a nation, descendants on that land. And through you, through those descendants, all nations on earth will be blessed. Therefore, promising the coming Savior. Those promises passed down to Abraham's son, who is?
Isaac.
Isaac passes it on to his son, who is?
Jacob.
Jacob takes it from Esau. Jacob has how many sons?
12
sons. One of them went off into, was sold into slavery to Egypt. Do you remember who that was?
Joseph.
Joseph sold into slavery to Egypt, eventually brings everybody over there to help save them from the famine. And then what happens?
They stay.
Why? Yeah, they stay. Because they want to?
No.
No, because at first, yeah. But they're made slaves. So for over 400 years, they're slaves. And then out of those people, God raises up a prophet to help lead them. Who was?
Moses.
Moses' brother is
Aaron,
serves as the high priest, guides the people out, gives them his law, and they grumble, and so they wander around the desert. 40 years, that's a long time. 40 years. Finally, they come to the promised land. Why doesn't Moses lead them into the promised land? Remember?
He sinned.
Consequence, yeah.
Yeah, he sinned. He got frustrated.
Water from a rock. Boom.
God recognized that was a sin. He says, you're not going to enter the promised land. But graciously brings them to the promised land, and he's able on a hill and a mountain to look over the promised land so that he himself can see it with his own eyes. Then who takes over?
Joshua.
Now that's where we get to this book of Joshua. Everything I just took you through is everything I take all the catechism students through, usually about once a week. But we go through the entire Old Testament, right, to kind of refresh and remember. Jacob, ask me at home to do the Old Testament timeline, see if you can do that.
Wow. He's like, I was pulling weeds.
Yeah, there he was.
I just have a question.
Yeah.
It's kind of, you know, I know that we're the descendants from Abraham, but why don't they ever say we're descendants from Noah?
They do sometimes.
Really?
Yeah. That well, we all look back to Noah, right? But usually with Abraham, it's referencing our father of the faith.
Ah. Well, Noah has to have had a lot of faith, or he wouldn't have
been. You and I aren't necessarily children of Abraham by descent, biologically. But we are spiritually.
Oh, okay.
So that's where they call Abraham our father.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, go to Romans 4 for that one.
That's that grafting we talked about.
Right, that grafting might be talked about, yep. In Romans 11. So, now we are here at Joshua. Joshua is going to lead this massive amount of people into the promised land. And that's his job, and that's what we need to cover with the book of Joshua. So everybody turn to Joshua 1. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy,
Joshua.
The first five books are called the books of Moses. Moses wrote them.
Isn't it called the Pentateuch?
Also called the Pentateuch. Five. Mm-hmm. Also called the Law of Moses, because a lot of it is God's laws for the Israelites. The sixth book is Joshua, because? It's about Joshua's work as leader, leading the people. We're going to read all the way through chapter 1, and we're going to do it verse by verse. Is everybody comfortable with reading, or do you want to do it verse by verse, paragraph by paragraph? Verse by verse, so we'll go around. Is everybody comfortable enough?
Yep.
All right. I'll start with verse 1, then we'll go over there to Linda, then we'll snake around by halves. And if somebody jumps in front of me, that's okay. Just jump in somebody else later. Here we go. You can see in Deuteronomy 34 is the death of Moses, and now this. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide,
Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you are all these people. Get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites.
I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses.
Your territory will extend from the desert of Lebanon and from the great river, the
Euphrates.
All the height.
Get tight. She got the fine
tight. Yeah. To the great sea on the west.
No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you.
Go ahead.
Oh, be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them.
How about it?
Okay. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go.
Listen.
Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful.
Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go.
So Joshua ordered the officers of the people.
Put it in.
Me?
Yeah, you.
Go through the camp and tell the people, get your supplies ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God has given you for your own.
But to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said,
remember the command that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you. The Lord your God has given you rest and has grafted you this land.
Your wives, your children, and your livestock may stay in the land that Moses gave you east of the Jordan. But all your fighting men, fully armed, must cross over ahead of your brothers. You are to help your brothers
until the Lord gives rest to your brothers as he has to you, and they also take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to the land of your possession and shall possess it, the land that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you beyond the Jordan toward the sunrise.
Then they answered Joshua, whatever you have commanded us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go.
We will obey you just as we obeyed Moses, and may the Lord your God be with you, as he was with Moses.
I get to. Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey your words, whatever you may command them, will be put to death. Only be strong and courageous.
That came out perfect.
Yeah. It did, yeah.
How did we do that?
So I get to. All right. Take a look at the look section. Can I get a volunteer to read that note on verse 3? Mike?
Every place where you set your foot, Israel's territory would extend from the Arabian Desert in the south to Lebanon in the north, from the Euphrates River in the northeast to the shores of the Mediterranean Sea in the west. It was a good and spacious land. Under Joshua, the Israelites did not conquer all this land. King David, however, extended Israel's boundaries to include the land to the Euphrates. He was a type of Christ who would extend God's kingdom to its farthest limits.
Bible program that we have has some really good maps. So I'll be having some maps here. This morning I'll just kind of pass this one around. If I print one out for everybody, you can see it's in color. They would kill me. So I won't do that.
That sounds like one job.
Maybe eventually if you would like a colored one, let me know. But I'll print off some black and white ones. It's a little harder to follow the black and white, which is why I haven't done it. But it's being passed around for you right now to kind of see what they're describing. We'll also have one at the end when we see that the allotment of each tribe kind of separates. It does a really good job with that. So lots of land coming in. King David himself would actually finish the job. So just note that it wasn't complete here. The Israelites, surprise, surprise, weren't faithful completely and wiping everyone out. So, but huge start and got the Israelites going. Verse 8, Book of the Law. As we said, it was the five books of Moses contained God's law and promises. Now let's discuss, after talking about the reading of Joshua 1. Why does the Lord remind Joshua of Moses' death? Moses, my servant, is dead. Well, duh. I was there.
Well, the commandments you've given and the law that you've given Moses, they have to be mindful of what they obey.
Okay, mindful of obeying the laws given through Moses. Because what happened when anybody grumbled or rebelled against Moses, the servant of God? God showed them. Ah! Should have obeyed Moses. He's my servant. He's the one I chose. So reminding them of who Moses was. Good. What else?
Maybe it's time for him to not mourn anymore. It's, you know, he's dead on the mourning, and it's obvious Moses is dead, so time to mourn.
Okay, so maybe it's dead, let's deal with it, let's do what we came to do.
Yeah. Maybe it was that Moses had a whole command, and out of his anger, he disobeyed, and he was not able to participate. And that was a reminder to Joshua of just how powerful and important it was to obey his word.
Okay, so Moses went against God's word as a leader. Joshua, here's a reminder, he's dead, right? Don't make the same mistake. Definitely part of that, Mike.
I was thinking it's, Moses is over. We are going forward now with a new one. I don't want to hear, well, Moses this, well, Moses that, well, Moses the other. We're moving forward from here. It's not about the man, Moses, and what he did. He's dead. I'm still here, and we're going. And we're going to go take this land. So.
Okay, so he's dead. He's gone. Now it's time to move on. Move forward. New leader. New leadership. Let's do this. Could be part of it, too. Notice how what he emphasizes about Moses. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now what's he going to encourage Joshua to do? Look at the bottom of that first paragraph, verse 5. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. So I will never leave you nor forsake you. So not only is he warning Joshua, perhaps, but he's also encouraging him. He said, look at all those times I was with Moses. Guess what? That's you now. Moses is dead, you're taking the spot. You are the servant now, my servant. Big reminder. So imagine what do you think was on Joshua's mind when Moses died?
Oh, really?
Uh-oh. Joshua had seen how many times the people rebelled and grumbled. Now, uh-oh, now we're going to have Moses to lead us.
Okay.
Or, uh-oh, what's going to happen to the nation? What was on the people's minds, do you think?
Or, is it me that's going to have to do all this?
Yeah, he's going to have to do all this. What do you think was on the people's minds when Moses died?
What now?
What now?
Who's going to lead us?
Our great pastor is gone. Is God possibly going to guide us? Absolutely. God provides. Provide another leader. And look what he gives these words to Joshua. I'll be with you too. That was for the people too, not just for Joshua. Right?
God, we knew that when Moses was a very reluctant man because he tried everything he could to get out of the Jews, and God told him this. And so the end result was he wasn't that bold and courageous, but he went through a big process to get to that stage. And I think he lost sight of the fact that Moses at one time was scared, you know, and just like Joshua, when he said anything to his now, he is scared. And so God is trying to reassure him to trust him and his message to him and be courageous, like, you know, because that's what Moses had to do, which was tremendous to use the faith. You know.
If I'm Moses and I'm writing about my call into leadership, I don't know if you can paint a worse picture of yourself than Exodus chapter 3. Right? Moses, I've chosen you. No, send somebody else. I've chosen you. No, I'm not going to listen to me. No, I'm sending you. No, no, how do you even know? Well, here are these miracles. Yeah, well, that's it. You tell them who I am, I'm going to give you your brother as a mouthpiece. Like, you big whiner. And you know, Moses, it's the book of Moses. Moses wrote it.
Yeah, right.
How humble it is that he tells him that. And now Joshua can glean from the same thing. Look at what Moses did. Don't do that. God's with you. Same way. And now Moses gets to write this. And look how many times God has to say, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous. Why? You think Joshua was already strong and courageous?
No.
No! God knows people's hearts. He's probably trembling.
I would be quaking in my boots.
Strong and courageous.
My information says he was Moses' aide for 40 years.
Yep, so for 40 years, Moses led the people. So out of the Exodus, through the desert, all the way to the promised land. 40 years. Yep. Now he got to witness it and be kind of his right-hand man for 40 years.
It's a long time to be the backup quarterback.
And now you get to take the land that's been promised for 500 years. No pressure. No pressure.
Yep.
All right, number two. In verses 3 through 9, God piles on the encouragement. Find as many different encouragements as you can. You find it, throw it out there. 3 through 9. Verses 3 through 9.
Well, 3 says, I will give you every place where you set your foot.
So where you set your foot, I will give you.
Yeah.
That's a promise.
Mm-hmm. No one can stand up against you.
No one can stand up against you. Not a single person. Not any sort of person within your midst, too.
I will not leave you or forsake you.
Will not stand up against you as leader of this people. What's that?
I will not leave you or forsake you.
Won't leave you, won't forsake you. Good. What else?
Well, it's going to be a 24/7 job. He's got to meditate on it constantly.
Yeah, meditate on it. Yeah, you're not going to get much sleep sometimes, right?
Be strong and courageous, verse 6.
Be strong and courageous. What's verse 7?
Be strong and courageous.
What's in verse 9? Be strong and courageous.
Well, also in 7 it says, be careful to obey all the law. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so also pointing him to where for guidance and help?
God.
The law, the word.
Right.
The book.
To God, yeah, to the book. How are some of these encouragements the same for you and me?
Well, one thing for me, I mean, this is not a new plan. He keeps saying, I promised this, I promised this, I did it, I promised it, I promised it. I've always had the plan right. It's you guys that have, you know, delayed it and all that. And I think it's probably the same for us. Yeah. Thousands of years ago, I had a plan. And you seem to get on board here. It's not a new plan. I'm not, you know, changing. I never change.
I'm with you as I was with them.
Yeah.
God never breaks his promises.
Never breaks his promises. Yeah. Same thing for us.
Yeah. Call me on this. What promise did I ever not keep?
Yeah.
A lot of times I think we have a temptation to try to be self-reliant. We think we can do it all on our own. And we don't really rely on God to help us make ourselves available to God to make the kingdom. So I think by saying go back to the law, remember that you can't do this on your own. You need to depend on me.
That's right. How many times did God have to remind Moses of that too? And eventually here he's going to show it to Joshua. Yeah, I'm with you. You're going to win because of me. Not because of you. Yeah, good reminder. What else? In other ways, are these encouragements for you and me?
Don't be terrified, I'm with you.
What do we have to be terrified of?
Failure.
Yeah, failure? What else?
Husbands.
Husbands? And wives?
When you don't follow God's word.
Okay, so when we don't follow God's word, there's a lot of issues that happen. So good encouragement for us. Good, what else?
I think a lot of times life throws a lot of curveballs and a lot of unexpected things that happen, and it's easy to get off course. And God is the master navigator to get us through all these pitfalls and minefields and everything, so that we can know the divine way or the divine will. Otherwise, we get blown up by that. Because what we fear in life, and a lot of things we fear in life, because we don't understand it.
Absolutely, and we don't have to understand everything, do we? Because we can be strong and courageous in whom? God.
And he's saying, don't look to the left, look to the right. Stay on course.
Yeah, stay on course. That's not always easy for us to do, is it?
No.
I think that's why he keeps repeating it over and over and over. It's like a child. Seriously, we're children. And we have to constantly be reminded, can this be? But anyway, be reminded, you know, to stay on the course, because it's too easy to go the other direction. And your kids are the same way. I mean, we're just all, you know, we look at our children, we're like, are they ever going to learn? Well, are we ever going to learn?
You see those, like, leashes that kids have now, like younger kids?
Oh, for Pete's sake, I know I've seen them. I want to wrap them around.
Well, it's just an example of, we need that too, you know? God kind of has to put us like on a leash where we're just like, no, 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 stay over here, stay this way, don't go over that sinful thing, don't have this sort of attitude, no, no, stay in here, trust me, right, be strong. So in a way, we're like children.
Yeah.
We need that guidance. We need to be reminded.
Yeah, don't let me have a leash, dear. That's a long time ago.
Number three. Oh, here, let me ask, go to verse 9 again. What's God's point in verse 9 with the question?
Don't you remember? He's asking, don't you remember, right?
I think he's wanting to make sure Joshua is actually listening to him. Because sometimes we have a tendency to, like you were just demonstrating, go our own direction, and we haven't gotten it yet.
I think there's more to it than that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Look at the question.
The Lord your God will be with you wherever you go.
Okay. Look at the question at the beginning of verse 9. Is it, how's it phrased in your Bibles? Have I not commanded you? What's the point of him saying that?
Okay. I think he's reiterating that what he has told him. Have I not told you this? So now you've got, you know, just...
So what's the comfort from that? Well, yeah, God, you did tell me that.
Well, the comfort is that as long as he obeys and he does what he's supposed to do, the Lord has commanded him to do that. You know, and so the comfort is, if he can stay on that path, which we all kind of fall away, but stay on that and everything's going to be granted to you that I have told you already.
Oh, God's in control.
But he just said,
yeah,
we'll be with you wherever.
Be with you wherever you go, that's true. But why is this, have I not commanded you? What's he put wanting Joshua to trust him in? What's he wanting him to put his trust in?
In his word.
In his word, right?
Yeah.
I commanded it, so guess what?
That's it.
It's going to happen.
Well, he doesn't break his command. He doesn't break his word.
Ever. Ever. Never breaks it. So, Joshua, I just commanded this. I've commanded this for a long time. Is it going to happen? Yeah. Nothing stops me. Right? Brothers and sisters in Christ, I have commanded you. I've commanded you. Go and make disciples. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Is that not going to happen? Of course it's going to happen. I've commanded it. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I've commanded you to speak about me, to share me. Is it going to happen? Yeah, it's going to happen. You're going to do it. What's going to happen to their hearts, the people that you tell? They're going to be changed. They're going to be open. Why? Because I commanded it. It's my word that does that. Same promise goes for us too. Now number three. What help did Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh give Joshua? So some background here. As they're coming, they have some people that they're defeating on the edge of the promised land, kind of east of the Jordan. And Moses says, if they came to Moses and said, hey, we want this land. This is pretty good land. We like this stuff, Moses. Moses says, okay. Kind of portions it out to them. But now they're about to go into the promised land. What might be the temptation for them?
Not
to stay.
We got our land. Good luck. See you later. And yet, what did they do?
Army. Send an army.
Yeah, they said, we'll go with you. We'll help fulfill God's promises to you, all of our people, because you're our brothers and sisters. So what help did Reuben, Gad, and half-tribe of Manasseh give Joshua? Take a look at what they say. Verses 16 to 18.
They'll do whatever he says.
Yeah, why?
Because just as they obeyed Moses, so will we obey you.
Yeah, why?
That's not very exciting.
May the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. They believe it.
Whoever rebels.
They're trusting in that command from God. And then they tell him, how does the chapter end?
Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey it, whatever you may command them will be put to death.
Okay, and then what do they tell him?
He's strong.
Again. Where have we heard that before?
Again.
Only this guy has an almighty in front of it.
So as Christians together, are we to use the words of God to help encourage each other?
Yes.
Absolutely. They encourage their brother Moses, or Joshua. Okay. Go to number four. List the specific life situations when believers need to be strong and courageous. First do that. Specific life situations when believers need to be strong and courageous.
Well, at the death of a loved one.
Death of a loved one. Good. What else?
Serious illness, terminal, special.
Serious illnesses?
Special needs people.
Okay, so caring for others, especially those with special needs.
I guess maybe the same thing, but when you reach the end of your kind of capacity to plow through stuff, then it's, you just get it. All right, got it. From here on out, it's you. Because I've reached the end of how far I can take this. And yeah, like Mike says, some people have a smaller capacity, others have a big one, but at some point you're going to hit the wall.
You're kind of spent and tired.
One thing, people lose their jobs too, and they don't know where the next paycheck is coming. It takes a lot to really stand strong with the Lord.
Losing your jobs, losing your home, losing your retirement. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know how it would feel, but me, I have felt these ethical quandaries in my job or whatever. And so I've had to go deep in myself to do the right thing. And it's been extremely difficult to do that. You know, I've had to go deeper in my relationship and faith to do it. That was the right thing. You have integrity.
When you're persecuted for your religious beliefs.
That happened in our culture? Mm-hmm. Sometimes aggressively, usually passive aggressively. Mm-hmm. But through other means.
Yeah. I think also if times are prosperous, you better be careful also.
Oh, okay.
I mean, not only, it's easy to call on the Lord when things are going wrong. I mean, that's the first thing. Nothing I can do, only God can help me. But sometimes when things start going good, you think, okay, things are going good, so I start drifting or thinking differently or not worshiping what I should. So I think there's dangers on both sides.
Give you an example, one from yesterday. Mighty Warriors here. I'm a pastor, I've been in so many different places, and yet there I was, that first door I was walking up to. Heart's beating, I'm just like, what is happening to me right now? Why am I ready to talk to a stranger. I don't know how many times. What are they going to do, shoot me? Side note, I did go to a house yesterday that had a painting of a gun.
Oh.
And then it said, if you're here at night, you'll still be here in the morning. And what did I do? Ding dong. Hi.
It's not night.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, when it says,
why were you fear?
Yeah, that's right. You said that. I was thinking it, and you said it because I was out there too.
Yeah, isn't that funny?
But it's funny. I mean, you get stronger, and you buy the fifth house, you're rolling, and it's easy, and you know, whatever, right? So, he provides.
He provides, yeah, he really does. And then you have a good conversation, you're just like, oh, yeah, that's all right. You know, but sometimes you just kind of wonder your own sinful heart, like, why do you fear? Right? Be strong and courageous. How many times does God have to deliver us before we finally go, oh, I'll be okay?
But you think that's because sometimes we have a tendency to want people please instead of God please?
No, okay, yeah. We put others in front of ourselves.
We're doing for God, then we're trying to, so we're nervous that they might reject us or something.
Yeah.
In the back of our minds, that might be what's lurking there, and so.
A lot, yeah. So, which promises of God have been especially helpful to you in those situations?
Well, I think for me, the key one for almost all of those things is He will be with you wherever I go. He'll not leave me or forsake me.
He'll be with you wherever you go. He won't leave you or forsake you. That is definitely a good one.
Mm-hmm. And I know that's true for me with my arm, because I didn't break my clavicle bone. I didn't crack my skull. I didn't break my jaw. I didn't break my cheekbone. The only thing I did was dislocate my shoulder, and only God could have taken care of making sure that that's the only thing that happened.
And even if you had all those things happen to you,
he
would be still with you.
Exactly. Yeah. But I just feel like for me, just seeing how He took care of me really showed me He was right there, even in the midst of that situation.
Yeah, absolutely. What are the promises of God comforting to you in those situations?
I'm not sure how God said it exactly, but God is love, and it's an unconditional love. Sometimes when you really fall flat on your face really bad, you can sense that God loves you for who you are and who you do, and that you are His loved child. And sometimes you really need to do when you've been really down on yourself because of something that's happened really bad in your life, then that's when you need that grace of knowing that you're so that you can respond to that love and keep on going. But it's about the purpose.
Good reminder, yeah.
He'll work all things for our good.
Mm-hmm.
Even when it was your screw up that caused the problem, somehow He's still going to use it and work it out.
For our good, too. Right? It might not always be for our comfort.
Yeah. Right.
For our
temporary
right now. Right, yeah. Yeah. For our good.
He doesn't waste anything. Nothing is wasted. It's always going to come out.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it reminds me, maybe I've told this story before, but with Gideon, he was getting into this habit when he got his new bed, right? He's transitioned from the crib to the bed. He's getting this habit of getting out of the bed, coming out to us in the living room. Well, finally, we had to start telling him, buddy, if you come out, it's going to be a spanking. You know, we don't like to spank him, but, you know, we hardly ever had to, but it's really the threat that, you know, keeps him in line. So one day he comes running out, and Heather goes, oh, buddy. And he goes, no, I'm in bed. But Heather slowly goes to the room, pulls down his pants, spanks him, and he's crying the whole time, right? She's, buddy, I have to, right? Why is that a comfort that God does the same thing for us?
Because He loves us.
Because He loves us. What was Heather, what were you trying to do with Gideon?
Show him that your word is important.
Teach, yep. Command is important.
Yeah.
Teach and guide, discipline. What's at the heart of discipline?
Follow through.
Disciple. That's right. But God does that because we know in all things He works for the good of those who love Him. Even the
spanking.
Even when He spanks us,
you know,
we know that He's working for our good.
But you also know He's not going to give you more than what you can handle. And when you're in the thorns of something bad, regardless of, there's a multitude of things it could be for every different person. But when you're in the thorns of that, if you can hang on to that, he's not going to give you more than you can handle. Because at times it seems like, oh my gosh, I can't take any more. What are you doing? Yeah. But you got to go back to the fact that he's taking care of you and he's not going to give you more.
And
he can,
and
but you're still going to handle it.
What did we talked about this yesterday in Mighty Warriors too. What did God tell Paul when Paul's like, come on, Lord, thorn of the flesh, get it out of here.
My strength is perfect in your weakness. So Paul's, all right, give me more weakness. Give me more weakness.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't be good.
My grace is sufficient for you. That's enough. You've got that. So even when we're facing all these things, we feel like we're going to get crushed by them. You can't crush that.
But the hard thing is when you're in that is to focus back on the fact that he's going to give you more than you need.
So those promises are important.
And he also, I don't believe, wants us to stay there any longer than we need to. He wants us to learn whatever we need to move forward. So not his desire for us to stay there forever.
Absolutely. What are the promises?
I'm just thinking, I have a granddaughter who just started junior high this year, and I pick her up every Thursday, and we have some good discussions about what's going on with junior high. And I'm thinking, it must be very difficult for that age child who wants to so badly please the teachers, who may be teaching things now that are contrary to what she grew up with, or at home and in her church, and yet she wants to do well in school, she wants to have friends, but she's got to make decisions on her own now that can't necessarily be absolutely the same as what her parents said, because it's a different generation and totally different from when I grew up. So we have some very interesting conversations to help this work.
How does it work, and how does it always work, and how is it going to work?
She's a good gal, and I think it will work, but yeah, it must be very difficult. She's very grade-oriented.
So what promises of God, then, would you think of for yourself and for her in those moments? What promises kind of strike you?
He will always be with you.
Be with you?
You are not alone.
Mm-hmm.
Raise them. If you raise them, they will.
In the way you should. In the way you should.
Yeah. Just keep teaching them.
There was a little push a while ago for kids to bring their Bible to school, and I kind of looked the day that I picked her up, and I didn't see anything like that going on. So there may have been some kids, but that's hard.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like two different worlds.
I think it's harder today because everything's anti-God.
Not everything.
Well, no, I'm saying in the school there's a lot of it. And
you're right.
And if you want to bring your Bible to school, sometimes they get on your case and they won't let you. And then you have to go to court fighting. You know, it's not just school.
And all of this, not just school. In all of this, though.
Not just schools, but I'm saying she was talking about schools.
In all of this, with that whole situation too, those difficulties, there's always the promise that God's going to let His grace shine. Right? His people will indeed proclaim His grace. And if you think about how cultures work, right, it's like swinging pendulum. It's going this way now. Guess what's going to happen? Guess what happens in China?
It's already starting on comeback.
Or Vietnam.
In China, religion wiped out by Mao. Wiped out. Yeah. Guess what people are doing today? Joining churches in droves, millions and millions and millions of people are learning about Christ. Why? Because they were thirsty for it. God will provide that living water. He will. And that's one of the promises that you and I, as we look to the future and the generations to come, we can definitely lean on that. God will do that.
She said, look at Vietnam. And the seminary.
Vietnam's another one, yep.
The seminary.
Good example.
The problem with school, though, is with the young people, is that you trust in God that He's going to take care of them, but there's that little niggling thing that's inside of you that goes, and get out there in society, and what are they going to hear, what are they going to learn, what are they going to pick up, and you can do it. It's very, very hard to say, Lord, watch out for this child, and then not be concerned anymore, because there's too much out there. And you want to. You don't want to take that upon yourself. But there's that little thing in the back of your head that says, what if?
Absolutely, yeah. And that comes from concern.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking that, just like he told Joshua, I got this, we're going to go do this. It was one of the very last things Jesus ever said before he left, right? It was, surely I'll be with you always till the very end, right? So, it's like we never learned it. But it is one of the very last things he ever said. So,
I like it when that passage gets chosen for confirmation. I think it was chosen again this year, but I think it was my sister's confirmation passage. Matthew 28:20. Let's end with prayer. We've got an intro and dipping our toes in the book of Joshua. We pray. Lord God, you are almighty. You have been from the beginning. You have been since Joshua. You were with him in his whole life. You're with us too, same way. Lord, give us the encouragement from this book of Joshua to know that you indeed have a plan. You indeed will command something and it will happen. Same is true in our lives. Guide us to cling to your promises, Lord, so that we can share those with others too. We ask everything in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless your week, everybody.